Let's turn now to the Old Testament and to the book of Psalms and to Psalm 117. If you're looking for Psalm 117, pretty much if you open your Bible right in the middle, it'll be round about Psalm 117. So Psalm 117, it's the shortest psalm. We'll read it through. Praise the Lord, all you nations. Extol him, all you peoples. For great is his love towards us, and the faithfulness of the Lord endures forever. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord, all you nations. Extol him, all you peoples. For great is his love towards us, and the faithfulness of the Lord endures forever. Praise the Lord. The other morning I had to leave for Inverness very early, and I usually try and spend a good bit of time in the morning just praying and reading the Bible for my own benefit. Didn't have time to do that really. I thought, well, I don't want to go out the door without reading anything from Scripture, so I turned to this psalm, because I could read it quickly, and yet it would give me something to start the day with, and it really did. I read the psalm, and I kind of took it with me as I drove off to Inverness. And as I thought about it, it really surprised me in terms of all that it just opened up to me. The depths of this psalm are far greater than the length of the psalm would suggest. Try to imagine the process of composing the psalm. You might think it wouldn't take very long. I don't know how long it would take to write this psalm. We believe the psalms were written by a whole lot of different people. We don't know who wrote this psalm, but whoever it was, perhaps more than likely a man, I guess, but could have been a woman, I suppose, because there are examples in the Bible of songs like Miriam's song that were composed by women. But in any case, you imagine him with a musical instrument, maybe with a lyre, stringed instrument, and he's got a little tune, and he wants to express in that tune something of God. And these are the words that come to him under God's guidance and inspiration. And these words reveal a rich, personal, deep relationship with God. A heart for God. Now, I don't know if you've ever written any poetry or tried to write a song or anything, but if you were to sit down this afternoon and try and write a verse of a song about God, what would you write? And what you write would reveal a great deal about how you view God and your relationship with God. It would probably reveal whether God is personal to you. And that's what I want us to think about for a few minutes this morning. Like, if you have a personal living relationship with God, how does it show in your life? And I think this psalm can give us some great answers to that question. If you really have a relationship in which God is your God, your friend, the one you travel through life with, then it'll show in different ways. So here's a few reasons, or here's a few points that will show in your life if God is your personal living God and Savior. First of all, if God is your God, you'll want to express it. You'll want to express it. Like, the very fact that someone would want to write this psalm shows that the things that they're writing about, that is the Lord and his love, they're meaningful to him. These are the things that are the theme song of his heart. Jesus said, wherever your treasure is, there your heart will be also. That's what you'll be thinking about. If your treasure is in your property, then you'll spend a lot of time thinking about your property. If your treasure is in the Lord, then he'll be greatly on your thoughts. And you'll want to speak about that. You'll want to express it. And maybe if you have an inclination to writing song or poetry, you might write about him, like this little psalm does. Because if you have a relationship with God, if you've got a heart for God, it's not hidden. You want to express it. The second thing is, you want others to know him. If you have a heart for God, then it's not a private thing. It's not just something you keep to yourself and you're content to see other people do whatever thing they do. And so the writer begins the psalm, praise the Lord. But he doesn't think to himself, well, it's fine, I'll just praise the Lord and these other people can get on with doing whatever they do and the other nations can get on with worshipping their gods. That's not fine by him. Because then he says, praise the Lord, all you nations. Extol him, all you peoples. I want everyone to know the Lord. I don't just want to know the Lord for myself. Because if we know the Lord, then we want everyone to know the Lord. Because you realize it's really not okay for you to have your God and for others to have different gods. I'm not talking about some kind of imperialism there. I'm not talking about some kind of bigotry there. I'm talking about the reality. There aren't any other gods. There is only one God. And the God that is the God who created everything. It's the God who called Abraham, promised him to be the father of a great nation, led that great nation out of Egypt in due time, that God, the God of the Exodus, the God of the prophets of the Old Testament, the God and Father of the Lord Jesus Christ, the God who, by the power of his Spirit, established the church that has spread across the world. That God, the true God, the real God, the one who exists. We live in a world where there are many gods, but there's only one that's real. There are many man-made gods, many man-made concepts of what God is like. But if you know the living God personally, it's really not fine in your mind for other people to be worshipping that which you know is false. It makes your heart ache. You feel sad and you feel desolate to see other people worshipping worthless things. Maybe they are gods or maybe they're just material things that they give their hearts to. And when they could instead know the true and living God through Jesus Christ, your heart aches. And so you say, praise the Lord, all nations, all peoples. You want everyone to know the Lord. If you have a relationship with him, then you want everyone to. The third thing is, if you have a relationship with God, you will speak about his character with personal conviction. Like, God isn't abstract. God is real to you. Some of you will know that Fiona Talbot has a blog in which she writes about relating God to the everyday world and to the world that we live in. And for October, she focused in on a verse in Psalm 145, where it says, the Lord is gracious and compassionate, slow to anger and rich in love. And those four things, she spread out over four posts over 4 weeks, thinking about God's grace, his compassion, his slowness to anger, his richness in love. Pretty much like verse 2 in Psalm 117, his great love and his enduring faithfulness. And she wrote about these things. Because if you know the Lord, then he's not abstract. He's real and personal, and his character is precious to you. And you are constantly trying to get to know that character better and better. Being a Christian means that you are moving from a place of having a wrong picture of God to having a right picture. My own journey has been from once hating God to over years and years having my image of God changed and transformed, having to repent many, many, many times over of my false ideas of God and of having hard ideas of God, and coming to discover what verse 2 speaks about, his great love and faithfulness. Moving from a wrong view to a right view. And as you get that right view, it becomes a conviction with you. It becomes a delight to you. And God is calling us all to that. If you have a personal relationship with God, then his character is real to you. The next thing is, you can see his goodness whatever your circumstances. Life isn't always easy. Life can be hard. It can suddenly hit us with hard things, or we can have whole long hard seasons of life to go through. Some people are all about God when things are good, but when things are bad, they abandon ship. But to know God personally is not to be a fair-weather Christian. You're not just attached to God as long as he makes life nice for you. Because you know that God's love is great, verse 2, you know his faithfulness endures, and you know these things will win through, even though you're going through hard things in life. And so when life is hard, you praise God. While others complain and become bitter, you still praise the Lord, as verse 1 and 2 say. When life is hard, you still believe in his love, while other people grow to hate him. You believe his great love. When life is hard, others may be asking, where's God? But you know he's faithful, and you know that his faithfulness will stick with you and bring you through whatever is hard in life. Ultimately, God will be vindicated. Ultimately, the clouds will break and he will rend the heavens and come down again to us in his love and faithfulness. If you know the Lord personally, you know that his goodness is there, no matter how hard and bad your circumstances. Here's another thing. If you know the Lord, then you know that his love will prevail. His love will prevail. It says in verse 2, great is his love. And that word that's translated there is great. It's not a word that's used very often in the Old Testament. But it kind of means, it means that God's love will prevail. His love will always get the better of adverse circumstances. Someone has written that this word great, it's a vigorous, formidable word. Because it's used of things like the waters of the flood. In the story of Noah, they prevailed, it says, upon the earth. In other words, they covered the land. They covered the land where Noah was. The waters prevailed. Again, it's used of Joshua fighting the Amalekites in Exodus. And it says, as long as Moses lifted up his hands in prayer, Joshua prevailed in the battle. It's that word, being on the stronger side in the battle. It's a word that we sing quite often in Psalm 65, where we sing about our sins prevailing against us. And sometimes we feel like that. We're trying to be better people, and then we fall down again. Our sins just always seem to get the upper hand. But what verse 2 is saying is that God's love prevails in our lives. So sin may prevail against us, but his love will prevail over our sins. God will always get the better of the things that seem to get the better of us. And if you can't see his love, you know it's there. And you know that it will break through again and shine upon you, because it prevails. It's more powerful than anything that's against you today. So if you know God personally, you know that his love will prevail. You know also that he is faithful. Verse 2. His faithfulness endures forever. Are you faithful? Are you faithful to God? Even the best Christian isn't always faithful to God. And our unfaithfulness is shown when we go our way and we abandon our relationship for a moment or for a short time or longer time in order to indulge in our sins and go our way and disobey him. But God is faithful. You never see God in his relationship with us saying, well, I know it's good for you, but I'm going to do my own thing. God doesn't do that. God always does what's good for us. He is faithful. Paul says, if we are faithless, he remains faithful, because he cannot disown himself. So we've got great security in Jesus. If we know Jesus personally, we have a great security. We know that he is ready to fix the relationship that we have with him when we break it. And so when we break our relationship with God, we need to confess our sin. We need to confess we've done it. And remember that promise? 1 John 1 verse 9. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just and will forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So to know God personally is to know his love, it's to know his faithfulness, and it's also to know that he has no limits. He's not got any limits. Look at the scope of the psalm. Praise the Lord, all nations, all you peoples. God's rule of love and faithfulness stretches over all peoples across the world. And his faithfulness endures forever, verse 2 says. So the scope of God's presence and God's power, they're worldwide and they're forever. We need a greater vision then of God. I mean, sometimes I was with someone this week who said to me, this is a very elderly person, said to me, I've got so much I want to do and so little time left to do it. Which is a very moving thing to think about. But our relationship with the Lord means that we can have a greater vision than that. We can say to ourselves, well, I have so much I want to do, but I know that God's faithfulness endures forever. So I know that my life doesn't stop when I die. My life is not just the 70 years I get in this world or whatever I get. My life has a forever to it, because my God is faithful forever. His faithfulness endures forever. So we can have a greater vision, because our God has no limits. And he's faithful to us, and his love is great, and it prevails so that nothing can beat it. we know that we can share in that relationship with God forever. And finally, we know it's all because of Jesus. What the psalmist maybe just only saw very dimly is the reality that the rule of God that extends over the nations, the love of God, the faithfulness of God, they're all expressed to us through Jesus. And all the blessings that we have come to us through Jesus. So, in the end, if we have a personal relationship with God, a friendship with God, we know it's all there because of Jesus. We read in Romans chapter 15. In Romans 15, verse 7, Paul says this. He says, accept one another, just as Christ accepted you, in order to bring praise to God. So we accept one another. Why? Because Christ has accepted us. And why has Christ accepted us? To bring praise to God. So, if we know this personal relationship with God through Jesus, then it'll result in praise. So, if we find ourselves praising, we shouldn't be surprised. I got into a Christian's van the other day. He was going somewhere with me, taking me somewhere. Sat in and there on the radio, or on the CD player, or whatever it was. Well, his iPod, I think, was plugged into it, or his phone or something. Worship songs, praise, praise. Someone just driving around, listening to worship songs. Why do you do that? Well, because Christ accepted you to bring praise to God. Why do we suddenly just burst into song? For me, it tends to be in the shower, but why do we just burst into song sometimes? Just praise God spontaneously. Well, because Christ accepted us to bring praise to God. Why do our hearts well up with thanks? How is it we find ourselves in this personal relationship with God, praising Him? It's because Christ accepted us in order to bring praise to God. Praise like Psalm 117. And lo and behold, Psalm 117 is quoted here at verse 11. It's the first verse of Psalm 117. Praise the Lord, all you Gentiles, and sing praise to Him, all you peoples. So where does that come from? Well, verse 7, Christ accepted you in order to bring praise to God. For I tell you, says Paul, that Christ has become a servant of the Jews on behalf of God's truth to confirm the promises made to the patriarchs. So Christ, first of all, was the Saviour to the Jews who believed in Him. But then it is, verse 9, so that the Gentiles may glorify God. So the Jews who believed in Jesus told the Gentiles, we read about that in the book of Acts, told the Gentiles about Jesus, and the Gentiles believed in Jesus, and the Gentiles began to praise God. And we're probably all Gentiles here, I don't know, but we're praising God because of what Christ has done. And we're praising God in the words of verse 11, as it's written, praise the Lord, all you Gentiles, sing praises to Him, all you peoples. Why are we praising God? Why are our hearts full? Because Christ accepted us in order to bring praise to God. So, my final sign then that you're in a personal relationship with God is that you know it's all because of Jesus. Jesus has accepted you. And you find yourself praising God because of that. And all the other things I've said about knowing the prevailing power of God's love and knowing the eternal certainty of God's faithfulness, and just having the desire to praise Him, having the heart that wants to say the things that Psalm 117 says, these are all there because they're signs of a personal friendship and relationship with God. And ultimately we ask ourselves, where would I be without Jesus? That's what a Christian says. Where would I be without Jesus? And if you've got that sense in your heart, then it's a good thing, because it's a sign of a personal relationship with God. And if you're still unsure about that, and you don't have that kind of spontaneous praise, or that sense of God's love, or that sense of God's faithfulness, or that sense that God is for all people, and that you want to tell about Him and speak about Him and sing about Him, if you don't have that, then Jesus is calling you to that today. He is calling you to a relationship with God. He wants to accept you so that you can bring praise to God. But the problem's not something He's done, it's something you've done. That's where the relationship breaks. So we need to tell Jesus, I'm sorry, I've not been faithful, You have. I've not loved, but You have. Forgive me, and please accept me. And Jesus will. And He'll pour His riches into our hearts so that we too can bring praise to God. Jesus is calling us to God today, calling us home, calling us into a personal relationship. Let none of us resist that call, but let each of us receive Him personally. And then we can sing Psalm 117, as we're about to do, with hearts that overflow with a sense of the meaning and the power of those short and simple words.